Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Let's visit with our buddy John Glennon from Broadway Sports. After the Titans dropped to 5-1, if right now, if I said to you, John, hey, put on your Mike Vrabel hat, start scrolling through your contacts, and maybe you just land on Dean Pease by accident. Maybe you do. and maybe, John, I know it's crazy times and there's COVID restrictions in the building or something. Maybe you tell him, hey, man, I'll come out, walk across the street, you know, we'll put a picnic table up there and I'll sit and have lunch with you if you'll come and eat a sandwich with me. Let me pick your brain a little bit. I mean, would you, if you were Mike Vrabel, would you consider maybe a text message to Dean Pease at this point?
Wouldn't be a bad visit to have. Certainly, you know, when you consider that, you know, at least in theory, this scheme is basically the same, you know, perhaps with a few tweaks as it was last year, you know, the one that Dean Pease was running, but obviously just not producing the same results. Now, have there been personnel changes? Yes, Jarrell Casey, Logan Ryan, you know, the two biggest changes. But, you know, this is a defense that was, you know, solid enough last year, but, you know, a pretty decent defense. And now it's just coming down to every week whether the Titans can outscore their opponents, because the defense can't be counted on. You know, you look at some of these deficiencies that they have: the third downs, last in the league; the red zone, last in the league. And really, the only reason that they're kind of even treading water right now is because they're so good on the turnover front. You know, they're leading the league in the turnover ratio, and that's kind of saved them. But you know, at some point, it was going to catch up to the Titans, that the fact that they weren't going to be able to outscore one opponent, and that was yesterday.
Vrabel talked a lot last week, because he kept getting asked about pass rush and coverage and different things. And last week, he talked about communication with the front end and the back end of the defense, and maybe so. Obviously, that could always stand to improve. I'm sure in every business, people need to communicate better, but both ends need to play better also, and the people in the middle.
Well, yeah, you know, you have to have one, you know, strong point, whether it's the backside or the front side. You know, one, as was asked of Mike Vrabel by Teron Davenport today, he said, you know, it doesn't seem really, in so many words, he said, doesn't really seem like either one is helping the other. And you know, I think that's accurate right now. The front isn't pressuring quarterbacks. You know, the Titans have a total of 7 sacks in 7 games. You know, and I think that's certainly very unusual in the fact that you've got at least 3 guys, Clowney, Beasley, Landry, who in past seasons have put up a decent amount of sacks. You know, nothing, you know, not Hall of Fame numbers necessarily, but these guys have all been productive in previous seasons. And to see those total 1.5 sacks, those guys total 1.5 sacks after 7 games, big question mark there for me. And then if you're not getting the pressure, that coverage in the back has to be sticky. It has to be really good. And we're not seeing that certainly at all. And you know, I think the clear illustration there comes on those third downs yesterday, especially those long third downs of 10 plus. I think there were at least, you know, 3 or 4 situations where they gave up first downs on third and very long. You know, so they're really not, there's nothing the defense can say, hey, we're doing this really well right now outside of the turnovers.
But John Glennon at Glennon Sports on Twitter from Broadway Sports.
Well, JG, man, I have to ask you, did anyone ask him, like, okay, well, when are we going to get pressure and why aren't we getting pressure? I feel like the guys are playing hard. I mean, you know, really the only noticeable guy is Simmons. I mean, with his batted balls, his bull rush, and his play in the run game, he's even starting to get, you know, pressure in the pass game. It's like, where's everybody else at this point in time? I think I don't know what to expect from Beasley, but at least Clowney, I'm expecting him to turn the corner at some point, and it's not happening.
Yeah, and again, I said, you know, you look at that personnel and you look at Beasley, Clowney, Landry, guys that are regularly in there on the pass rushing situations with Simmons a lot of times. That's a pretty good grouping, a pretty good personnel grouping in terms of being able to get after the passer. And really, you're not seeing necessarily even much in the way of pressure. Now, yesterday, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is a guy that gets the ball out really quickly on a regular basis, so it's tough to get to him. But, you know, the pressure hasn't been there against other quarterbacks, too. You know, so I think Mike Vrabel is you know, I get the sense scratching his head a little bit. He talked a little bit today in his press conference about, you know, the different types of coverages that the team can do, you know, behind the front four and the blitzing guys. And I think, you know, clearly you have to make some tweaks there, you know, just in terms of how you're covering. Maybe, you know, it appears a lot of times the Titans are giving too much cushion to guys as well in coverage. I think he's got to address all those this week, because you're looking at a Cincinnati team coming up that, even though they've only won one game, these guys can throw the ball around the park a little. Joe Burrow is racking up some big numbers. He's got like three receivers with at least 40 catches. And if you're talking about a strength versus a weakness, you know, that's a Cincinnati strength against the Titans defense, especially in the secondary, that hasn't looked very good.
Well, I know we're on with John Glenn, and I know, you know, Mickey joked a little bit about, you know, Dean Pease, but man, we're not getting any production out of Rashawn Evans. I mean, was he even on the field? I mean, really, I know he was, but man, how do you have this kind of drop off? I am baffled. And then, oh, by the way, David Long didn't even dress.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're talking about with Compton. And this guy's not better than Long. I mean, this is, so I don't know what's going on there. But when you start having indecision like that, guys are watching, paying attention, and that's not good. I don't know. Yeah. There's change of coaching there too, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, that's the thing. Also, you know, we've talked an awful lot about the change at coordinator from Dean Pease to Shane Bowen, or at least play caller anyway. But yeah, you also have to look at the fact that they changed inside linebackers coach. You know, they changed secondary coach as well. And, you know, you have to go back and say, if there's any time that you want an off season to be regular, it's when you have a bunch of new coaches coming in and you're changing personnel. Well, we all know this off season was anything but regular. There really was no OTAs, you know, rookie, you know, mini camp, et cetera. No preseason games as well. So I think certainly there's still some adjustment going on that normally would have taken place, you know, much earlier by now. But, you know, again, at this point in the season, when you're giving up probably close to 30 points a game, you know, some serious questions have to be raised about exactly what's going on and who's coaching what there.
Yeah, let's just use this another example. Byard, he looks like a good solid starter at this point. This dude is an elite player.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, Byard certainly, I think, is one of the best safeties in the league, but we haven't seen the kind of the big impact types of plays, you know, the interceptions or the, you know, or you know, occasional tackles for loss, just the overall outstanding play that we're used to seeing from him. And to your point earlier, yeah, I don't think Rashawn Evans is playing as well. And, you know, I thought Jayon Brown had a pretty good game yesterday, but, you know, prior to that, I don't think he was at the same level either. So, you know, sadly to say, I think, you know, we're maybe seeing a little regression there. And, you know, I think the point has been brought up too. I know Paul Kowarski brought it up today and again, in one of his articles, but the leadership void too. It's not just about moving talent on, but you know, there's leadership questions when players move on as well. You know, again, Logan Ryan, Jarrell Casey, Wesley Woodyard, even, you know, even though he wasn't playing necessarily a ton, that's a kind of guy who's a tremendous leader, a very smart guy out there. And are you getting enough from the players that are out there right now?
We're on with John Glennon talking all things Titans.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Logan Ryan, because anytime the secondary struggles, his name will come up, just because he was part of the secondary last year, JG. And if you looked at all the Pro Football Focus grades, he didn't grade out very well in coverage last year, but this was a physical guy who would play in the slot. They used him a lot to blitz. You know, that was the one thing about Dean Pease. You know, Jayon Brown would have three sacks, and Logan Ryan would have three sacks, and people were just coming. Malcolm Butler would have a sack or two. He was sending people from everywhere, but Logan, who even at this point in his career was still such a valuable piece to that defense. And I know we talk about the leadership void, because he was obviously a leader and a great guy in the clubhouse, in the locker room. But that dude did things on the field too that were really, really helpful.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it was certainly clear that Logan maybe had, you know, lost a half step or a step in some situations. You know, some of the speed receivers, especially in the slot, were tending to get the best of him. But I think what he definitely brought was that grittiness, the toughness, you know, a cornerback, a defensive back who is willing to stick his head in, a la Blaine Bishop of years ago, stick his head in and make those the big tackles. You know, wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty in that regard. And yeah, the blitz was a question I had immediately after they moved on from him, is that, you know, that was overlooked a little bit. I think, you know, sometimes people thought, well, hey, it's just the scheme that's getting these defensive backs in position. And surely there'll be other guys in that same kind of scheme who'll rack up the same kind of sacks. We haven't seen that. You know, Logan Ryan had, I think it was a combined 9 sacks over the last 2 seasons, which I think was 3rd best on the team. And we haven't seen that from a cornerback, from a defensive back. Nobody has been able to step in and fill that void in that respect yet. So that is something that they're missing in terms of moving that player on as well.
And I know we've talked a lot about, we're on with John Glennon from Broadway Sports. I know we've talked a lot about Clowney and Vic Beasley's name comes up, and maybe just how little he's been playing. And when we talk about Harold Landry, it's maybe about how much he's playing, but they really don't even have any depth at that position. And yesterday we're looking at the inactives, and Derek Roberson's name is on the inactive list. So Clowney gets dinged up for a while during the game. It's like, hey man, we're going to ride with Beasley and Landry. We ain't got anybody else. I mean, there's got to be another body somewhere to just put out there and soak up some snaps, John. And it couldn't do any worse sack wise.
No, that's a very good point. You know, and you hate to see in those situations. I mean, Kamalai Correa wasn't necessarily playing great by any stretch, but you know, we saw last year that he certainly had the potential to be, you know, a solid contributor at times. You know, and you have to think that he was a little upset the fact that Vic Beasley, you know, just jumped ahead of him automatically after missing so much of camp, and he has moved on now. But you're thin at that position now. Rashawn Evans, we've seen him move outside at times, you know, in the pass rush situations. We've seen Jack Crawford move to that kind of an edge in some pass rushing situations as well. But it is a little bit puzzling to me, you know, if you activate a Derek Roberson and he plays even, you know, 6-8 snaps, something like that, just a few more snaps, to take Harold Landry off the field, is the difference so great with a tired Harold Landry and a fresh Derek Roberson? Is the difference there still great that it's not worth making that move? I got to think that these guys, especially Landry and probably Clowney as well, would benefit from a, you know, just a handful more snaps rest each week.
I'm with John Glennon at Broadway Sports, at Glennon Sports on Twitter to follow him.
JG, man, did he have any comment, or did anybody ask about, you know, naturally, could have saved the day, at least went in overtime with the missed field goal there with Gostkowski, man. What do you have to say about that, if anything?
Well, you know, he's still very confident, as you would expect the coach to say, still very confident in Steven Gostkowski. But, you know, what a strange year this has been for Gostkowski. You know, you break it down. The 0-3 start there in Denver. He went 9-for-9 after that, including, you know, 3 game winners. But since then, 1-for-4. And you know, when you look at distance, it gets even weirder this year. He's 5-for-5 from 50-plus. He's 5-for-11 inside 50 yards. You know, so hard to figure. Then you throw in 2 missed extra points as well. On the other hand, 3 game-winning kicks as well. So it's, you know, he's all over the map a little bit in terms of pluses and minuses. The good thing is, and Mike Vrabel did touch on this, I think, too, the leg is still there, certainly. You know, there's no doubt, you know, certainly when we saw Ryan suck up last year, you know, coming back too early from injury, there were problems. You know, he did not have the leg, sufficient leg to be kicking in the NFL. But, you know, Gostkowski is still drilling field goals from 50-plus. He's hitting touchbacks at about, I think, 70% or so. So that's not an issue. It's just that he's, you know, coming up coming up inconsistent in terms of making these field goals from time to time. I think his track record And the fact that he has hit so many game winners this year gives him a little bit of a longer leash than you would in with other kickers. But, you know, bottom line is if this keeps up, you know, he's missed more field goal attempts this year than any other kicker in the league. And eventually, you know, you say, hey, do we need to make a change there?
Man. Well, did anybody even suggest of any interest in trade rumors or anything like that? I'm sure he would have laid it all out there for us, right?
Right.
Just tossed it out there. I will say that I gave it some thought, Blaine. I did think about throwing out there. I figured the answer was probably going to be that's above my pay grade or you know, something along those lines. But it is an interesting question to me because, you know, you look at this team this year and there are a lot of things in place for this team that could make a legit Super Bowl run. Certainly the offense we're seeing is legitimately Super Bowl worthy. So is this a year where you do say maybe we're willing to give up something for maybe that, you know, one piece, whether somebody, you know, happens to be offering a quality corner, maybe even a left tackle, you know, do you make that move more? Are you more inclined to make that move this year than if you've got a 3-3 team after 6 weeks and, you know, your prospects for the playoffs are middling? You know, we've seen John Robinson been willing to make some big moves over the years. He has not done much at the trade deadline over the years. Maybe this year is different because, as I say, you've got, you know, you made the AFC Championship last year. You've got a championship winning offense. Do you need something here at the trade deadline?
What did you think about the play of Sambrello and The Undertaker there, Mr. Dennis Kelly? What was your thoughts on that in PFF grades too?
Yeah. You know, I actually thought Sambrello, you know, I think everybody that's a Titans fan probably, you know, was immediately scared back in the Houston game. Of course, he comes in one play and it's a disaster for Sambrello. But, you know, I think he's gotten better. I think he was steady yesterday. I know they helped him out a lot of times, you know, with whether it was a chip from a running back or a tight end. But I think he fared pretty well. I thought he was better, you know, in the passing game. I didn't think he was great making a lot of holes in the running game. I thought Dennis Kelly had a rough afternoon on the right side. You know, TJ Watt is obviously one of the best players in the league you know, TJ Watt definitely had his moments, I thought, against Dennis yesterday. That's a tough assignment. But I also, you know, I wonder how much the injury impacted Dennis, too. You know, in the second half, he was clearly limping around out there. You know, he had been dealing with a knee injury coming into the game. And to me, it certainly looked like he was less than 100%. He never went out, you know, we'll hand that to him, but I wonder if that played a little part in it too. Plus the fact, again, you know, Pittsburgh is a tough assignment for any tackle.
Well, we're on with John Glennon and the Undertaker. They hurt the lumberjack and he hurt his knee, man. You got to look it out there, man. But again, we're on with John Glennon. We're talking about Titans.
And here's the thing. Hey, JG, they may have said, what we got with you on a leg and a half is better than any of these cats over here soaking up game right now. I mean, hey, man, hey, can you walk? And he's like, yeah, okay, stay out there. And I'm not taking a shot at any of those guys, but they may have just said, hey, man, you're our best option on leg and a half. You're huge. Just fall down in somebody's way.
that's possible, you know, because obviously third man up was David Quisenberry, you know, who does have some experience, but, you know, was a practice squad call up as well. And of course, you know, you hate to beat a dead horse, but nonetheless, it does bring up that issue. Once again, you drafted a tackle in the first round, you know,
if only you drafted a tackle in the first round this year, John, right. if only you'd had the foresight to draft a tackle in the first round this season, what if that had happened?
That's exactly right.
We're not talking about the panda. He doesn't exist. He's not on the team. Not on the team. Here's what we do know what happened. Hey, man, did we get any details on the $350,000 fine the Titans guy?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's a sigh of relief for the Titans.
You know, yeah.
Just to only have a $350,000 fine. You know, I think that's, you know, they got to be wiping their brow a little bit, especially when you look at what's going on potentially with the Raiders now. We've seen kind of report saying that this, since this is their second kind of breach of some of the protocols, that they might get hit with draft pick discipline and so forth. But I think, you know, the NFL at some point had a change of heart, you know, because I know, you know, talking to people that initially, you know, they were looking to come down harder on the Titans because of the you know, the breach of protocol. But I think at some point, you know, it was realized that, yes, the Titans made mistakes, but, you know, not egregious ones. And you know, in terms of the offsite practices, you know, I think it was more of a he said, okay, when did we say no offsite practices? You know, that kind of thing. And I think the NFL had a change of heart and said, okay, you know, you guys screwed up. We got to do something here. You know, so that was the $350,000 fine. If it happens again, boy, you know, there's going to be hell to pay at that point. But I think the Titans have certainly, you know, made a lot of improvements to their protocol since then.
Well, you won't have hell to pay to join Broadway Sports. It's a nominal fee, and you can get all of this great stuff from John Glennon and other people there. JG, thank you, man.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. John Glennon on Blaine and Mickey. Wrap up the first hour of the program coming up next. Let's hear from Jeremy Pruitt. What did he say after the game yesterday? We'll talk a little more Vols today, but let's hear a little bit about what Jeremy Pruitt had to say after the game yesterday. Some interesting stuff that's coming up next on Blaine and Mickey. The Rams.